Thank you, everyone, for being with us in our study today. Before we have our lesson, we'd like to remind you of the gospel meeting at the Gum Congregation. Brother Winston Temple is the speaker in that meeting, the final service tonight at 7:30, and you're invited to be studying with those brethren. I appreciate so much the invitation extended by the Fulton Congregation and her elders and Brother Sidney White that I might present the lessons, these lessons beginning this past Monday. As you are now studying under my voice, I'm on my way back to my home in Austin, Texas, and I have thus taped this, and I want to express my thanks to the Fulton Congregation for their kindness. I was located with the Fulton Church of Christ three different times, and we've always enjoyed so much our association with the Fulton Brethren, and we've always enjoyed being and working and living in North Mississippi. We look forward to coming back in gospel meeting work and seeing you and studying with you again. In this final study, Brother Sidney White will be with you, of course, tomorrow. I'd like to focus on something that I heard not long ago, and it's the idea of man finding the Lord without formal religion. I heard this statement made not long ago. It's not unusual to hear that statement today. Someone makes the statement to the effect, well, he seeks the Lord in his own way. Or, he's religious, but he's not into organized religion. Or, he is a spiritual man, he's just not formal with it. In fact, a statement that I heard most recently from a person that I am acquainted with in Austin, this man made the statement, well, I consider myself a spiritual man, but not a religious man. Now, there are so many in this kind of situation that we thought we might deal with this idea. You hear more and more, as the world becomes more and more irreligious, you hear statements made to this effect. Let's get behind it. What, first of all, is the basis of all of these ideas? Now, let's be honest. When one says, well, he seeks the Lord, but in his own way, or he's religious, but he's not into organized religion, or he is finding the Lord without formal religion, and he's not in the organizational aspect of it. Let's be honest. Get behind it. What's behind that? Really, isn't it just the idea that men want to do their own thing? Isn't that it? Without what they call formal religion, men just want to do their own things. And just think, without formal religion, what do they mean? Well, a man says then, I can use the Lord's day as I see fit. If I want to sleep in on Sunday morning and listen to the radio or the television or read the funny papers, and I'll just have some religious thoughts passing through my mind, and I don't have to use the Lord's day. I don't even have to think about it being the Lord's day. You see, I'm seeking the Lord in my own way. I'm just not organized or formal about it. Behind it, isn't it just the fact that men want to ignore what the Bible says about life, what the Bible says about responsibility, what the Bible says about obedience? We noticed in our studies this week that the Lord became the author of eternal salvation and all them that obey him. Not just those who think about him. He became the author of eternal salvation and all them that obey him. A man then can lay piled up in bed on Sunday and use the Lord's day to his own selfish ends, and then ignores what the Bible says about life and duty and responsibility and obedience, and then he pacifies himself by saying, well, I'm seeking the Lord in my own way. I'm just not going to be formal and organized about it. It's basically a selfish thing, isn't it? Men just want to do their own thing. They want to live a manner of life that pleases them, without any attachment to the Lord and without any obligation before the Lord, and to do their own thing and somehow still think that the Lord can bless them. Men thus want to do their own thing, and they never feel rebuke. They never know what admonishment is. They never know what correction it is that God has for them. Two verses immediately rise up that need some attention. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. There that prophet said, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In Proverbs 14 and 12, a verse that we also have noted this week earlier, There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's behind the idea of I'm just going to seek the Lord in my own way. The Lord didn't say that. The Lord wants you to seek Him in His way. Didn't we have a study earlier this week about knowing God's way and abiding by God's way? And the purpose was to tell man you can't live in your own way. You can't do your own thing and expect the Lord to bless you. In running away from formal or organized religion, men oftentimes try to justify themselves by morality. They'll talk about the fact that they're good parents and they're good marriage partners and they're good workers and they're good citizens and they're good neighbors and all of that. Well, all of these have to do with relationships with other people. How about the relationship that we're to have with Almighty God? How about the fact that God says that I'm going to then send my vengeance upon those who know me not and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Man cannot say that I'm right in God's sight because I'm right with my marriage partner. Or I'm right in God's sight because I'm a good parent. Or I'm right in God's sight because I'm a good worker or a good citizen. When the truth of it is that even if you call yourself good from a moral standpoint as a parent and as a marriage mate or as a worker, a citizen, or a neighbor, you're still not as good as you could be because you haven't reached your highest peak yet. You can only be as you should be if you're a good Christian parent, if you're a good Christian partner, if you're a good Christian worker, if you're a good Christian citizen, if you're a good Christian neighbor. What about your responsibility to Almighty God? Those areas are your responsibilities with other men. When men seek to justify themselves by morality, then they're skirting the issue of their responsibility toward God. What have you done toward obeying Jesus Christ? What have you done toward obeying the gospel of Christ? What have you done toward wearing the name Christian? What have you done toward worshiping God in keeping with His will? What have you done toward being a member of the church that Jesus died to build? Responsibility toward God. That's what man needs to feel. The point that we're making is that all of these moral things, that still those who are calling themselves good in those areas are still not good in the sense of what God wants. For God wants them good in all of those areas from the standpoint of their being obedient to the Christ. Remember in Matthew 25, verse number 26, that man who had hidden his talent, and then the Lord called him for an accounting. And I imagine that man would say, well, now, I'm a good parent, and I'm a good and dutiful child to my aged parents, and I'm a good marriage partner, and I'm a good citizen, and I'm a good neighbor, and I did not steal this money, and I kept it for my Lord. And the thing about it, he wasn't faithful before God. And in that verse, remember, he was condemned for being a wicked and slothful servant. Let's illustrate this matter also by Cornelius. Remember that man in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2? All of his good qualities, more than that, more than morality. A spiritually minded man, a man who was a devout man, one who feared God with all of his house and gave much alms to the people and all of that, but still he needed to obey the gospel in order to be saved. In fact, the inspired Apostle Peter in chapter 11 of Acts in verse number 14 said that the angel told him that with all of these things being so now, the angel told him, you send to Joppa and fetch Simon Peter, who will come and tell thee words whereby thou and thy house might be saved. You see, for all of this man's moral qualities and for all of this man's spiritual qualities, he had to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. If qualities of morality could make you right before God, then Cornelius would have been right before God without obeying the gospel. And if qualities of morality could make one right before God, then Christ would not be needed at all. Now, God has requirements. That's what we want to stress What did we begin with? Well, that man that says, well, I'm going to seek and find the Lord without formal religion. Well, don't overlook the fact that God has requirements. God has requirements, indeed morality, but from a Christian perspective, but more. God requires obedience. The Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7 and verse number 21. He became the author of eternal salvation, remember, unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse number 9. In obeying the gospel, one is added to the church by the Lord himself. Acts 2 and verse number 47. Then there is expected of him faithfulness in life, which includes faithfulness on the Lord's day. There God is to be worshipped. There Jesus Christ in his office as mediator is to be used as we offer our worship unto God. There's worship in prayer, and there's worship in study. Then there's worship in the giving of our means. There's the worship in singing praises unto God. There's the worship in observing the Lord's Supper. All of those things are to be done. Now, this is what men call the formal religion. This is the religion that gets man out of the bed on Sunday morning. This is the religion, according to Matthew 6 and 33, that causes one to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is that which the Lord says man must do. There's no such thing in God's word as man having a private kind of Christianity, lived apart from all other men, and that does not take its place in the family of God to worship and serve God. But you hear it, don't you? Oh, yes. He seeks the Lord, but in his own way. Oh, he's religious, but he's not into organized religion. Oh, he's religious. He's spiritual, but he's just not formal with it. Well, he better get formal with it in the sense that God expects him to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ in believing the Christ, believing in him, repenting of his sins, confessing his faith in Christ, and being baptized into him, thus by Acts 2 and 47, being added to the church, and then living and serving faithfully, day by day, yes, out in life. And then if men want to call it in a formal way, yes, that too, that he's to take his place in the family of God and live and serve faithfully, that he thus might live a life that's pleasing unto God, that causes him to be right in God's sight and causes him to do the Lord's will and causes him to exert the greatest influence upon others. Brother White will be with you to finish out the week's studies tomorrow. It's been my pleasure to be with you, and again, my thanks to the Fulton congregation. Until such time as we might be back this way and study with you again, goodbye.